But God said we on time.
Yesterday is old news. Today is new news. So step into your newness today with a new attitude. Leave the stinking thinking behind and be courageous. Be courageous in everything that you do, knowing that you are not alone, that God is with you. Whatever your situation is, speak to that situation. Use your mouth. There is power, power in the tongue. There is power. There is life in your tongue. Don't use it for a deaf purpose. Don't use it for a deaf sentence. Use it for you so you can be revived. Resurrect some situations. Command some situations to move out of your way. I am just so thankful and so happy and so full of joy that today is a new day. And this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, Minister Shakita. Bring us up in prayer, please.
Good morning, Evangelist. And once again, good morning, saints. We thank you again for tuning in with us at our executive meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, for coming and showing us and allowing us to be in your presence, oh God. We thank you, God. It's such a joyous occasion, oh God. We thank you, God, for today, oh God. Let us not, God, be content, God, with what's going on with around us, God, but let us be content with you, God. Be content in mercy with your love, God, in your mercy, God, in your rest, in your peace, God. We today, oh God, we shall not, God, lean on our own understanding, oh God. Help us, God, to remove the things that's not of you out of our way, oh God. Help us, God. Help us, God. Strengthen us and give us the strength, God, that you know, God, that we have in us, oh God. Show us the strength that we have in us, oh God. Because some of us today, oh God, we don't know that we have that strength, God. So today, oh God, give us that strength, oh God, that we so hardly need, oh God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus Christ, Holy Ghost. We thank you, God. We love you for the day, oh God, you have given us, oh, day, this day, oh God. We thank you for this Friday, oh God, because surely, God, it's the day that many did not see, God, but you breathed on us this morning. You gave us fresh life. You gave us new wind, oh God. You gave us a chance, oh God, to do the things that you would need us to do, God. That you have us to do, oh God. We surely need your love, oh God. We surely need your grace and your salvation, God, like never before, oh God. Your mercy, God, you know we know, God, your word does not come back void, oh God. Your mercy endures forever and ever, oh God. We thank you, God, for this day, oh God. We love you, God, like never before, oh God. We thank you, God, for all the things that you're doing right now, God, knowingly and unknowingly, God. We thank you, God, for the things that you're doing in our life, God, right now, the people that you're having us in, the places that you're having us at, God. We thank you for all of these things, God. It adds us no sorrow, God. We thank you for these blessings, oh God. We thank you for the correction, God. We thank you for the knowledge. We thank you for the wisdom. We thank you for the understanding, God. We thank you, God, because that is true love, God. Correction in you, God. We thank you, God. It's in your name that we pray, God. In Jesus' name we pray, God. From here to the mountaintops, from the mountaintops to the heaven, we pray. Hallelujah, Jesus Christ, in your name. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen, amen. So, I guess I'm excited. I am excited. I mean, just yesterday, how the truth just came out over the airwaves. I mean, it was just awesome. I was on the phone. I think yesterday I was a gossiper for Christ. Can I say that and be transparent about it? Because I was just calling different people, talking about how Apostle got on, how he just came in and just stopped. He just slapped Satan all around, just threw him all over the place. He did a WWE. I think that's what it is. WWE, WWW. Y'all know what I'm trying to say, but he did not play with that yesterday. People misquoting the Bible. People just laying around in their sin thinking it's okay, thinking that it's okay with Jesus. It's okay for you to say it. And you know why I'm so excited? Because it was time to be heard. It was time to be heard. And it's so many people be afraid to go into those type of words or speak the truth because they're so worried about what other people are going to think, or this person may not follow me anymore, or this person may not do this. So the boldness and the courageousness that came in. I'm telling y'all, I got rejuvenated. I was resurrected in a whole different area because I look for those type of things, you know. And I'm not sitting and I'm not putting anybody down, but I am a person. I once was a babe in Christ, and I had to go through some different steps, and I was misled. And it was my fault because I should read the Word of God. I should know that the Word of God does not change. I should know those things. So when people come to me and tell me something, I should have had enough boldness and courageousness inside of me to say, no, that's not what the Word said. Now, I could do that now. But there was a time before that I wouldn't because I was in a place of acceptance. And see, right now my acceptance is to Christ. My acceptance is, what would Christ say? Y'all remember they used to have this, what would Christ do? Well, I'm going to say, what would his job well done? But let me tell y'all something about my apostle, why it just came in my mind. I have been told that I failed the test before. I have been told that you did not, that's not how it was supposed to be. That's not what the Word of God said. You basically, without you leaned on your own understanding, or you didn't, you know, deliver it correctly. And I didn't get upset. See, with me, especially with my Christian walk, now in the natural, so I have some issues. I'm gonna be honest with you. But in my Christian walk, when you come to me and you say that wasn't accurate, or you need to, you know, do this, or how it should have been done, I'm going to thank you all day. I'm going to thank you because, see, I need to get myself right in order to help someone else. So when you bring that rod of correction to me, I'm like a little child sitting in a high top, in a high chair, waiting for you to feed me. Whether I got a messy face, all type of stuff on my hands or not, it doesn't matter, because when you're giving me the Word, I'm putting my hand in that mess right then and there, and I'm putting it in my mouth so it can marinate deep down in my stomach. So when I get ready to bring it back up, it will be in the proper context, and my delivery will be better. And that's something that I'm praying for. I'm asking God. So yesterday when the whole scenario took place and Apostle Temple, the Holy Spirit just took control and put it where it needed to be, I was happy. And I'm still happy. That joy is still rolling over. So I don't want to let it go. We're not going to let it go. But it might just go in a different direction. So the scripture that was spoken about was John 14:5. To love me, the New King James Version say, to love me, keep my commandments, to love me, obey my commandments. So let me just say this. On today, I just want to go in the Word of God just to show for those that need the Word of God, to show you that there were several people that were in places, and Daniel was one, and his brothers, his Hebrew brothers as well, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. When they chose not to conform to what was going on in their surroundings, they chose not to get into a place of acceptance of what was going on around them. They stayed true to their teachings, although they were exiled, they were moved from where they grew up, where they received their teachings, where they learned to know God and to trust Him and those different things, the believing Him, the faith. They were moved into another, I don't want to say continent, or they were put into exile, and they had to learn a new language. They had to learn everything differently. But this is the beauty of it. Even though they may have learned different things, they stayed true to what they knew, not what somebody else taught them. I'm saying the word what they knew. And one thing that we learned in having an intimate relationship with God is to know Him. And these boys, they knew God. And to know God is to trust Him. To know God is to believe in Him. To know God is to depend on Him. And this is what these Hebrew boys did. They were in a place where they depended on God during the times of their troubles, their man-made troubles. King Nebuchadnezzar had made a gold image and wanted people to bow down to him. So as we go back to love me is to obey my commandments, the commandment is say have no other God. We know that, right? The commandment says that. So where they were at, based on their relationship, based on their knowing, based on their comfortability, based on their security, it didn't matter what King Nebuchadnezzar said. It did not matter what he said, even with Daniel. It didn't matter. With Daniel's situation, Daniel refused to conform, and because he was in the lion's den, and him not being worried about it, him not being fearful about it, him not threatened about it, him not getting on his knees and begging and pleading not to go in there. What happened? For me, he ended up, Nebuchadnezzar ended up saying, okay, well, you know what? I want to know the God that you serve. I want to know the God. And then Daniel was able to go in and say, okay, he was able to put some conditions in. So we're going to let Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, we're going to give them a higher position in the kingdom based on the fact that he chose not to give in. And that not to give in shows me how much he loved God. It showed me how much, no matter what your situation is, no matter what is going on, no matter if you even getting ready to go on death row, and you know that the things that you have done, the things that you know that you're doing everything right, you just a person that's refusing to conform the normal things of this world, you should already know that before God, when the timing comes, God is going to step in. Because, see, one thing about God's timing is for his glorification. It's for his glorification. One thing about God's timing that I have learned, that when God shows up and shows out, that's exactly what it is. He is going to get the glorification based on your action. And so I go back to, if you love me, to love me is to obey my commandments. We have to be in a place, as Daniel, as Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, to the place where we are so in love, we are so in love that nothing that you or anybody come and say to us, it would separate us from what we have learned, what we have applied, and now what we are connected to. There is a connection there. There is a love connection. And one thing I love about when we were talking about the love thing, Apostle Temple said we have to go back into the courtship stage. And they had to be in a courtship stage with our Father in order for them to get to the place where they was like, oh, when Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to bow down, oh, they didn't even apologize. It was more or less, when I read it in today's term, I really don't care what you're saying, but because I know who my God is. I know that he's a savior. I know that he's a deliverer. I know that he's an on-time God, but he does not come and save me at this time, I know that he still will be glorified, because when it's time for me to come back up, when it's time for me to see him again, he's going to say, faithful servant, job well done. And this is where you and I need to be. But see, when we get into the place where we start changing things around, putting things in our, you know, the way we want it to sound, the way we think that we have to misconstrue different things to win this person over. I'm going to go and witness to this person, but I'm not going to tell them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I'm going to leave maybe a word off and tell them something, because I don't want them to just walk away from me. So I'm not going to give them the fullness of what the Holy Spirit has placed in me to go and say to them, because I don't want them to walk away from the conversation. I want to be this great minister, and I want to just minister to this person, but you're not a great minister because you're not telling what the word of God says. You have said, you have changed the word of God for what? Your own fleshly reason, your own fleshly desire, your own time to just to feel like you got some fame going on. And that's not being about our Father's business. That's not being about the Father that I serve. Business, correct, politically correct. And that's one thing that Apostle Temple is doing. He's coming politically correct. So when people hear it, they sit and say, oh, I can't deal with that, because it's not what you are usually hearing. And that's what happened on yesterday. It was like, okay, I don't care. He had a Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego moment with Daniel on top of it. I don't care. I'm sick and tired of this. This is how it's supposed to be, and that's how it's going to be. And I'm not going to apologize about it. I'm going to say it because it needs to be said. And that's how you and I need to think. But before we can get there, we have to know scripture ourselves. So how do we get to know scripture? We got to study. We have to meditate on the word. We need to eat. In God told Ezekiel, eat the word. Because you know why he's saying that? Because there's one point in time in your life, if that's what he's calling you to be, you're going to have to bring that word back out, but you're going to have to bring it out just like he told you. When God is downloading his prophets, he's downloading a message into them, downloading that message, and he expects that message to come back exactly how he said it. He told Ezekiel, listen, you're going up against some hard-headed, obstinate people. They're not going to hear and listen to what you have to say, but you still need to give the word. So he still expected him to give the word as he said it, not to sit and change it, not to sugarcoat it. He forewarned him ahead of time about the type of people that he was dealing with. He forewarned him. He had time to get himself together. If he was feeling a little weak, he had time to ask God for some strength. If he was feeling a little coward, I need your courage in this situation, because I am so thankful and grateful and honored that you chose me to give this message to these hard-headed people, but I need you to help me get through it. And that's where you and I need to be. Come on, Minister Shakita, what you got to add to this?
See, in order, saints, yes, Evangelist, see, in order, saints, for us to walk in the trueness of God, we have to do the work. We have to do the studying, not only like we study in the morning time, we come online, we give the word, and we give the script, and we sort it out, and we expound on it. You have to do the personal work yourself. You have to set aside a time to do the work yourself. You have to pray, meditate, and fast under the right guidance. But you have to know this word. You have to get the word embedded into your spirit, into your soul, because you do not want to get in a place of contentment in the area where you at and then wonder why your life is not moving or things around you are not changing and things around you are not growth and there's no prosperity the way you want it to be or the way God wants it to be for you. Not you, the way God wants it to be, wants you to be. And today sometimes we really don't know what being content is and being discontent is. When you get discontentment, you get into a place to where your mind really shuts off and you really cannot intake and receive the different words and the different knowledge and the different guidance and different things that God has placed into your life. So you have to get into a place to where you want it for yourself. You want God and you want it so bad that you can almost, like, you can taste it a little bit. You want God so bad that you hunger for it when in your sadness and in your happiness. You want him no matter what. So you go to the scriptures. You seek the word. You seek presence. You seek teaching. You seek people that has the word. You go to people like Apostle Temple said, he's at your realm. Send him an email, send him a text. He'll answer those texts and those emails. He'll give you the knowledge that he wants. If you don't believe the man of God, come, sit under him. Watch him work. Watch him. He will show you through proof that he is truly doing the works of God. He's truly doing and working with God. God is truly on this man and his family and his life because he's doing the work. He's getting the word. He's been studying for so long. He has so much knowledge and information on his own, not only what God has downloaded into him, that it's truly a blessing that what he's doing right now, he's doing it, and we know it's not about the money, but he's doing it for free, giving you the true word, the true knowledge of God, telling you, look, I tried what you tried before. It didn't work. Won't you try this? God, the Lord Jesus Christ, scripture, studying, getting the word, getting yourself under supplication, getting yourself. It's all about self. It goes back to self. Are you truly allowing God to fill up in you and get into you in your spirit? Are you truly, 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 thank you, Holy Ghost, are you truly in love with God? Do you truly love God the way you say and you promise, you say and you do and you declare, you declare, you decree like you do? When you're not doing the things of God, when you're not doing the praying, you're not meditating, when you're leaning on your own understanding, when you're walking out his will, you try to do stuff on your own. The scriptures tell you that. It is a hand life handbook called the Bible. He gave it here to us. A handbook for life. Parenting, everything is in that Bible. Everything. Dismay, you can look in the back. There are different tools, like eventually says, the concordance. There are different books. There's a whole Bible book that break down. There's a whole Bible God that breaks down every living word that's in that book. It's a series of books. They go chapter by chapter. You have to find what works for you. There's apps on the telephone. You got Google, iCloud, if you got iPhone. You have all these things for you to get the knowledge and get the true word of God. Back to you, Evangelist.
One thing before I turn it over to Apostle Temple, that I wanted to remind you all, and one thing that I was talking about yesterday that was so profound and so transparent, when he gave his testimony, and it wasn't my first time hearing it, but when you hear something so profound and someone that's just so naked at the point that they can tell you how they were in a church, when I was telling my sister about it yesterday, she was like, oh, my God, I'm just so I'm just so sad that I missed yesterday when I told her how he was just, you know, saying I was in the church up on the pews bringing the word of God, and the spirit said, be quiet. And he continued and said, be quiet. Don't you dare again. Don't you preach another word until you bring my word into context. That is so profound. That is so profound. If God told him that, see, it goes back to what is God saying to you. See, he was at a place where he heard what God said. And not only that, he loved God. This is where you and I need to be. Don't sleep on that testimony, because that testimony was for somebody. That's how God works. That testimony was for somebody. That testimony was for somebody to hear, to let them know, stop taking things out of context. Stop leading my people, leading them down the wrong path. Stop it in the name of Jesus. Good morning, Apostle. How are you?
Hey, good morning, people of God. I'm doing great, Evangelist. God is good, man. And, you know, it's
just amazing to me just
in communion with the Holy Ghost, you know, and the Spirit of the Lord, and how the Spirit of the Lord keeps you ahead of the game. And it's just so amazing. Amen. Amen. And, you know, like you all were saying, you know, we've got to come with the correct context. And many people don't understand that your context will create channels and also avenues for the enemy.
The enemy, it creates avenues, and it can also create channels to allow the enemy to be attracted in your life. One thing that the enemy is attracted to, he is attracted. Many people think that he's attracted to people in the world. No, why is he attracted to people in the world that are lost and doesn't have a relationship with God? You got to understand, the enemy is not attracted to them type of people. He's attracted to people that try to portray a relationship with God. And he's definitely attracted to the people that try to operate into the things of God. They are very attracted to that. Number one, because it reminds them, and I shared this before, how the things of the enemy, that how things remind him of where he used to be. And he has a problem with certain contexts. See, people don't understand that the enemy will try to use these offices of the 5-4. And regardless of what, when you are minister, yes, you are minister, but when you step out and begin to elaborate and break down the word of God, you don't step into an office of a teacher. Amen. That's one of the 5-4 office as a teacher. So now you don't step into a realm to where you out of ministry to now you are teaching people how to develop their spiritual life, and you're teaching people how to develop their natural life. Amen. So now you don't step into a realm that God have not promoted you into that realm yet. I'm not talking about what man promotion or ordaining, amen, because what God done put over your life, regardless of what man does or do not do, no one cannot ordain you for what God done put over your life. I want you to understand that, amen, and people need to understand that, amen, and you need to understand that, you know, the enemy is attracted to wrongful teaching. They are attracted to it. It's almost like a fragrance to where it attracts them, and it makes them want to get up and encourage that. Then it brings on a false sense of the Holy Spirit. It brings on a false affirmation or false confirmation to where you begin to feel like you begin to feel even the goosebumps, and it makes you feel like it's the Spirit of God is approving and it's over your life. And what you have a demonic seed that is agreeing with you. Many people got to understand, a lot of demonic spirits are not there to come in to bring harm to your life. It's a lot of spirits there is just there to agree with you. Amen. They are not there to help you to grow. They are not there to, they just there to be your agree a partner, to give you a high five, to give you say, yeah, thank you, and just come into agreements with. Because you got to understand this. In the demonic realm, it's no chaotic realm. Many people think that that rim is fully messy. No, he brings mess in your life, but they are very organized, and they are very structured, and they are very, and they are on one accord. Many people think that, oh, is that, no, it's not. How can they get a job done successfully attacking your life messy? No, they cause you to be messy, and messy attracts them because they want to keep it going. Same thing with people delivering and teaching the word of God. This is why God had to, when God told me to hush up back in that time and shut up, amen, he began to show me the different areas in heaven. And he began to show me a different parts to where I don't heard a lot of, he showed me where I was at. And he showed me that where I was at, I was in this form of church. But it was mimicking the church of the kingdom. It was mimicking the representation, the blueprint of the kingdom of God, how the church of the body of Christ is structured. And I was in that realm preaching because my context and things that I was saying was totally wrong and it was totally out of it. And the reason why he gravitated and he rebuked me and he spanked me on that is because he knew my heart was right. My heart was in a place where I love him. But because I love him, that doesn't make me or that doesn't put me in a place where I was political correct. Amen? And this is the thing that people got to understand. Yeah, God loved me and I love him. That's all that matter. That's true, but that don't make you politically correct. That doesn't make your actions correct. That doesn't make what you're saying is correct. That doesn't make how you are living correct. Why he loves you, that's why he brings correction in your life, because he loves you, because he knows that you are not correct. Amen? And when the correction leaves out of your life, that's where you got to have a problem at. Amen? Many people say, well, I'm just waiting on the blessing. I don't see the blessing. I don't know. Brother, let me tell you something. Don't worry about that there. What you need to worry about when God starts telling you how to get the blessing, when he starts correcting your life so you can live a blessed life, when he starts chastising you so you can stay in this will, so you can continue to be blessed, that's what you got to be worrying about. Because once that go, amen, because the Bible says he will turn you over to a reprobate mind. The Bible says he will allow you to put an anchor around your leg and cast yourself over, do what you want to do. Other words, you go ahead and do you. I'm not going to mess with you. You dig a hole, you dig it. You stay in a hole, you make your bed in hell, oh well, you do what you got to do. So people got to understand that. That's why it's very serious when you deliver a contest. And that's why even the ministers and our ministers, they deliver behind the scene. A lot of times, if it's wrong, I give them a call. Sometimes I be online with them. I send them a text. They shouldn't say that. You shouldn't go that way. That is wrong. That's out of context. Why? Because at the end of the day, I know what is attracts. Amen? And this is where I get into a place where many people say, you know what? Because the move of God and because I delivered the word of God and here comes the devil. The devil is attacking. No, he's attack them because you don't put out some sweet perfume. He ain't going to attack because you, my God, you're smelly. He don't like stuff that is true, stuff that is right, things that is order. That is a foul order to him. But when it's out of contact and when it's wrong and when it's going and messing with people's life, you best believe he's going to be there loving every minute of it. Amen? He's going to be there agreeing along with you. Absolutely. And what he wants the attention on him. And this is where the body of Christ so jacked up at, because we put so much attention. One thing that I learned that it's no such thing as bad advertisement. Even bad advertisement is good advertisement for the brand. So other words, you could, and artists and secular people done discovered that, because you could start some commotion, start some beef, and start some things with somebody else, put out some allegations, amen. What it does, it causes all these itchy ears and all these gossipers to focus on that story. And that story becomes a hot topic. And when people that don't even know that individual, now guess what? They know that individual, and because now you gave them a platform platform, and they can capitalize off of that. Y'all hear me this morning, amen? Is there anybody there? As I'm helping anybody, especially you in Nigeria and all over the world, amen? Amen. So now you're given that platform, and the enemy is very, he's very smart in that area of promoting him. Many people think secular people or satanic churches promote. No, the church promotes the devil more than secular and satanic churches, amen, promotes him. I tell you what, count how many times a day when you say, the devil, you a liar. I rebuke you, devil. No, you wrong. Oh, no, that's the devil. The enemy ain't going to. How many times you promote that and other than, God, I bless you. God, I thank you for that lesson. God, I thank you for what you're doing. God, I've seen that. Oh, God, I thank you, Holy Ghost, for recorrecting me. I thank you for redirecting me. I thank you, Lord, for doing what you're doing. Amen. If you haven't showed me that, or if I haven't made that mistake, Lord, I thank you for it. Amen. My God, how many of you could check your life and say, I got more checks in that area than I have checks over? The enemy just bothering with me today, Pastor. He just, Lord, he just touched my body. He done touched my body. Well, guess what? You done invited him to touch your body, so he is. Because at the end of the day, I don't need to recognize a touch of the enemy trying to touch my body. I need to recognize the touch of the Lord, because in the proper context, light will overpower darkness any day. Amen. So you got to understand, my people, please, amen, that deliver, when you step out and you begin to deliver as a teacher and as a people, and I don't care if you say, well, I'm just a sister, a brother, or whatever. Yeah, you might be, but when you start giving people information to develop or to bring direction in their life, you become, and you don't step into an office that God going to hold you accountable, and you don't step into a realm that is going to attract demonic spirits, amen, not only according to you, but also, watch this, it's going to attract them, to who? To the people. Because why? They know they receiving wrong information. They know they receiving things that is not of God. It's not of the character of God. So now the information you don't gave them, because you out of contact, and they receiving that stuff, when they begin to apply it, they applying, my God, not for the heavens to open up in the kingdom, but they're applying for the demonic dimension, the second dimension, to open up in their life. And what it going to do, it's going to bring familiarity. It's going to bring things to draw them deeper. So it's going to bring everything that they asking for. It's going to look like they bring a blessing. Many people say, the devil can't bless, the devil ain't going to bless you. The devil is a liar. Then he tried to bless Jesus. Then he told Jesus, amen, bow down and worship me. I give you all these things. I give you this. I give you that. The devil is a liar. My God Almighty, that he cannot give you some natural thing. Did the Bible say, what profit the man to gain the whole world? Can I get biblical with y'all? What profit the man to gain the whole world and lose his what? His soul. He gonna lose. How he gonna lose his soul? His only one way he can lose his soul, amen, is not being in connection or in relationship with God. So if that's the case, if the Bible tells me I can only serve one master. I can't serve two masters. I can only love the one and hate the other. So if I'm losing my soul, that means I hate God and I love the enemy. I don't step on somebody's toes. I hope you don't went to the garbage can and deliver and poop that mess up out of you. Amen. My God Almighty. So you got to understand that the proper context is going to bring one or two things. It's going to bring somebody's life into a blessed place, or it's going to bring somebody's life into a hellish place. It's one or two things is going to happen. Amen. All this stuff that folks be putting out there, that it ain't just seed, it's just a season. No, it's a blessing in every season. The devil is a liar. I can care less what it looks like or how tough it may be or how difficult it looks like. One thing I do know, my God, I walk by faith and not by sight. And if God could be for me, I felt my little old Baptist voice there. If God could be for me, who can be against me. Help me, somebody. Amen. Help me. I know a God of increase. I don't know a God of hard time, because my Bible tells me the blessings of the Lord make it rich and added. My God. Other words, added. My God. Add me addition. Other words, we're going to have some issues going on regardless. That's why added me. He added no sorrow. He didn't say you ain't going to have no sorrow. He didn't say you ain't going to have no issues. It says added no sorrow. So other words, we are not going to add to what you already going through. So what you going through, you could able to what? Handle it. You able to do what? Bear it. Because God said, I'm not going to add it. So now you got all this stuff added to you, added to you. Well, you better be questioning it. Who adding it to you? Is it yourself, or is it you allowing the enemy, my God, to pack more stuff on you to keep you suppressed, depressed, or keep you in a point, a mindset that you're in right now, because he needs you to continue to damage the body of Christ. That's all you are, a mouthpiece. You're a puppet that is being used by the enemy when you don't come with proper context, when you don't come with proper words. You are a puppet that is being used by the enemy to develop and to damage and give the peoples of God the wrong context. That's why we have what we call in the Bible and also in the body of Christ, religion. That's why God, Jesus, they don't deal with religion. Religion folks are religious and all that kind of stuff there. Amen. Because there's only one Lord, one faith, and there's one baptism. And there's only one way to go. It's through the front door. It ain't through your side doors or back doors. Amen. So we got to understand, and there's so much depth, and I don't have time to really today to dig into, to show you the pros and cons and to show people what you actually doing in the spirit realm and how you are damaging so many folks in the spirit realm. How do you think, my God Almighty, that you get these leaders, or you get these people representing leaders that have this sexual seducing and perverse spirit and lust and sexual spirit, and they up their ministry, and next thing you know, they got all these ladies and these boys and these men, amen, that it's okay that they know you after that one too, and they get be able to sleep with them, because guess what? Somebody don't receive the teaching that it was unholy and ungodly. Somebody don't receive the thing, and it was an impartation that took place, and where the enemy was able to go into that individual and drive it to make them feel as though it's okay. How do you think cults are developing, cults are formed? Somebody are receiving and being brainwashed of certain teaching that somebody did, and the people that is using it ain't people that comes out of space. It ain't people come from another planet. It's a people that got a mama and a daddy just like you. It was a people that was birthed in this world. They went through the adolescent stage and everything, went to school, everything just like you. But something done happened, my God, in their form of thinking. Maybe it was somebody got a hold of them, or maybe it was something else. Somebody couldn't tell them, and they went along their way. But whatever it is, they begin to entrap people, amen, for their own self-will and their own gratitude. It don't have nothing to do with God. It don't have anything to do with the place of God. Because when people say that nonsense, my God, about your sin, it's okay, don't feel good. No, they ain't patting you on your back, because the Bible don't pat you on your back. The Bible tells me that God says sin stinks in his nostril. Why in the world God wants to let you to rest in a place that stinks? Why in the world God wants you to rest on him and you stink? Amen. You stink. You ain't even beige. You don't work all day. You're sweaty. You're musky. You got everything going on. Your breath is funky. You're under your arm smell like third degree, my God, musk that came from somewhere else, and all this kind of stuff. And now you want to say, God, I bless you. God, I worship you. Oh, come and hug me, God. Come and embrace me, God. And he already said, don't your best stink, your sins stink. It says in my word, why are you going to bring this stuff? How in the world are you going to rest in me and everything is going to be okay and all is going to be all right, and you got some funkiness going on? I got to keep it real with you all, amen, and not sugarcoat this thing. And this is the misconception of the body. The stinking stuff, the devil love it. The devil dwells in an unclean place. The Bible declares that the spirit of the Lord dwells in a clean place. So you got the clean up. That's the word of a God. I don't know this other stuff that folks are talking about and doing that is not of God. They are imparting demonic, my God almighty, control that they, and some people don't even know they're being used. Because why? Number one, you don't step into an office or step into a realm that God have not chose you or installed you in the heavens or gave you permission to go into. So now you coming out of the jurisdictions in the spirit realm to go and develop your own self, and now you're making a mess. Amen. And I can care less how many people are falling with you. I can care less how many people are giving you an amen. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the fact of you making a mess. Amen. And you could drive people in hell. Listen, I was reading, not only reading, I had a chance to even sit down and talk to the author of the lady that wrote, what's the book name? You know, The Divine Revelation in Hell. The Divine Revelation in Hell. I had a chance to speak with her and talk with her. Do you know this stuff is real? This lady actually experienced it. This lady was actually a wife to the enemy, wife to the devil. She actually was. And she constantly being tormented even to this day that she talks about. Amen. And in the book, it tells you and it shows you, you know, even in the Bible, amen? In the Bible, it talks about chambers. It talks about cells that hell has, amen? And you got to understand that hell is not actually the lake of fire. Hell is a place to where when you transition out of this life, and if your life is determined by judgment, this is where you need to go, or you hell bind, so you go to what? The place of a judgment. It's determined as a place of paradise. It says that. It determined as that as well. But it's shaped up, and it tell you how it's divine. It's shaped. It shapes up of a woman body. And it, inside that woman body, it has different places. And one of the places that she began to share in a book is she said, and as we've been talking to her, and she began to say, as she began to see, and the Lord showed her when she went there and seen it, it's a place that called Fun Spot. It's an area that is in hell. So it's an area to where a lot of saints of God that was led by different people and led by different teaching, they begin to uphold it and believe it. It's the area that is in hell to where the saints begin to torment them. And the sad part about it, they might be there tormenting these leaders and these people and all this kind of stuff, but they're going to be cast in a lake of fire as well. Pause and let that rest in your sanctified soul. Amen. This is no joke, because folks is patting you. I can care less how many folks pat me on the back. I can care less how many folks give me some accolade. At the end of the day, if it's wrong, it's wrong, and I have to pay the price. And not only I be paying the price, but the people that is receiving this stuff will pay the price as well. So you will get paid double for your mess because you don't stop. The Bible talks about it, how a teacher or a leader or an officer going to get judged greater than just a regular person. Amen? Because you are the person that is opposed to or hold the law. So you got to be careful when you come out with this stuff and begin to share people. And at the end of the day, you could be quoting the scripture, but you could be misquoting at the same time. And that's what I was doing. When the Lord told me to shut up, he didn't tell me to be quiet. He said, shut up. He told me just like that. So I thought it was the devil. Amen? And he told me to shut up because what I was doing, I was misquoting. Even though I was quoting the scripture correctly, people jumping in, amen, brother, shouting, yes, Lord. Go ahead on, brother, preach it. It says it right there in that word. But guess what? My God, when I did more research, did more study, I come to find out, amen, it was over 50-something authors that made up the King James Version. Even the author King James, amen, did not even, the author King James just signed the book. He did not even wrote, not even a verse inside of the book. It was different people because of the late church, the Latin church, they had conflicts and stuff going on about the version or about the Bible, so they had to come up to a concept to where they took different things from different parts of the Bible, the Latin version, the Hebrew, the Greek, and different all these books, and come up to with a concept to where folks could understand it. Amen? It was that author. Then he signed it. King James just really signed it. It really didn't have nothing to do with the authorship of that Bible. It was other people. Amen? Can I give y'all a little history lesson, a little study lesson as well? So I began to, then I began to realize that for me to understand the Bible correctly, understand the terms correctly, I need to go to original text. I need to go to original terminology and begin to break these verses and these scriptures down, amen, through the Greek and through the Hebrew as it was originally come from. Now my search and my journey began to actually learn the word of God. I wasn't learning then, amen. I thought I had all this up in me. I've been preaching all my life, been in church, amen. I heard all these things, quote all kinds of stuff. I didn't even begin to study to show myself approved because I believe what everybody else was saying. I took quotations and different things, what folks were saying, and at the end of the day, amen, at the end of the day, I was all jacked up because what they were saying was even biblically accurate. Let me let that rest inside of you. I don't kick against Mama Nim, Grandma Nim, because you got to understand. Let me give you another history lesson. Mama Nim, great, great, great Mama Nim and all them, even though they probably was raised in the church, raised you up in the church, you got to understand the context and education back then is not what it is like right now. They just had to believe what the slave was teaching because they had these slaves, amen, that was clergy, that the white masters or the white individuals, that they begin to teach them what they need to say and what they need to come with the Bible. Understand that these slaves that was going around ministering, teaching at these plantations, they didn't know how to read themselves. It was against the law for them to read. They'll get themselves hung and get whooped if they learned how to read. So they took the interpretation of the white evangelicals or these individuals that were slave masters, amen, to begin to teach them. And what they begin to teach them, my God, in today's terms, is suppress these individuals, amen, to keep these individuals in line. That's why you got a lot of white brothers, a lot of white people say that is the poor man's faith, amen, because it was the faith to where at the end of the day they kept these people in false hope. They kept these people in belief. So it kept the plantation into a calm roll. It kept them. That's why the songs and different things that they were singing, they love to hear the plantation's owner. They love to hear these songs because they think they are believing or they communicating or worshiping their God. Long as they kept working, they kept peace, they kept doing different things, they was fine. But the slaves learned how to communicate in the songs because they learned how that they are not paying attention. They think they're worshiping and they're going to song, and that song speed will have their speed how they work. It will have their speed of the level of work and level of intensity according to the rhythm of that song. At the end of the day, they didn't know how to read. So you got to understand that this was passed down. Then when we was able to open up the read, it was certain information, or certain research or reference was given to us, given to the black minority or the black group, amen. It was certain information. It wasn't a lot of information. It was just a certain thing. Then they still had to depend on somebody else to tell them the proper context and tell them the proper information about different things, amen. They still had to depend on somebody else. So at the end of the day, this was passed down to where it's still being passed down, because even we are free and got our hands on information to do our own due diligence to dig in, we'll still go off of what somebody else said. I want to pause right there. I think I said a month, but we done went into 1947, 76, all the way up to now. Y'all hear me? And we still go off of what somebody else said and not even study the showing ourselves a blue. That mentality still lies to where? Today. It still lies today. Oh, yeah, it's right there. Pastor said it. He said it right there. How do you know the context, the reference, and everything lines up with the story and how the story began to form and how the history and the story began to develop and brought out? How do you know that what they're saying is just their interpretation according to what they feel and what they believe? And you just say, well, that's it, because that's what it says. That's what the scripture says. But that scripture might say it, that part might be right. But the interpretation could be totally wrong. Come on, somebody. The Bible, I'm going to say this last point. I'm out of here. Get ready, evangelist. The Bible says the enemy is the father of lies. Let me tell you something about a liar. If you know a liar don't always give you full life. They put some truth in that thing. They put some truth in it to make the lie. Now, they're going to have some truth in it, but a lot of other stuff is going to be jumping around, and where he's going to have some truth. Other words, a liar or the enemy could tell you, he say, I seen John over there in that club and laying up with somebody. I'm telling you, I seen him. Oh, you need to stop lying. You ain't seen no John. Well, if I ain't seen him, John, on Wednesday, John done had on, he had on a blue shirt and they had on purple or pink pants. Amen. On Wednesday. Now you call John. Hey, John, I got a question. You know, did you had on a blue shirt and pink pants or purple pants on Wednesday? Yeah, I had on. How you know I had that on? Oh, somebody say they seen you, and because they seen you, you know, they just seen you, and they was telling me about it. It ain't nothing. Then you get off the phone with them. Oh, girl. Oh, you sure one lie. I told you. And they seen John at Publix going to buy some milk for his baby. Ain't seen him in no doggone club. Y'all see how that lies? You see how just so quick I don't put the truth with a lie and how it spreads so fast, and it gives some itching people just love it. Ooh, girl, you ain't lying. I told, and he confirmed, ooh, girl, ooh, that joke ain't no. And now here come the rumors. And this is where people, that's why I tell anybody, I can care less who that person was, me, no person for the first time. I can hear what you say, but I'm not listening to you, because at the end of the day, you could be full of mess. Amen? You could be a full of lies and a full of mess. That's why you have to be careful of what you're delivering and who delivering it to you, and make sure it backs up. You can't tell me anything that you can't show me how you living. I'm sorry. You can't tell me nothing if you cannot show me that you living. Don't even tell me this nonsense that, oh, he's still working with me. If you're going to teach it, you should be already master it. If you're going to tell it, you should be already becoming. Don't you? I get on our leaders all the time. Don't you sit there and teach nothing and give something to people that you haven't come to the turn and already master and dealt with. If you ain't master it, my God Almighty, smoking dope. Don't you get up here and try to tell people how they can get off of dope and what God can do, and you still on dope? What's wrong? No, that's a hypocrite. You need to stop that nonsense. You come and tell people what you don't master, what you don't overcome. Don't sit there and tell folk. You tell folk that, you know, he's a good God and he's a delivering God. He's a just God. He's just a caring and loving God. And here you are, is all messed up and stand up. And at the end of the day, he ain't did it for you yet. And you're going to sit here and try to teach other people. You get delivered first. Then let God, then you got the opportunity to share it with somebody else. Take the journey and stop trying to coach somebody as you fall in the journey. Both of you and the person you try to coach need to go and find somebody that already overcome it. A blind person, a blind individual can lead another blind, and both of them think they got sight and they can see. Back to you, Evangelist.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I pray that everybody that was under the sound of the voice this morning received what the Holy Spirit needed them to hear. Because one thing, as I started my statement today, I am a person that loves corrections. The people that God has in my life right now, they are welcoming correction. They don't have a problem with applying correction, with no apologies. Why? Because they love the Lord, because they realize the Lord loves them. And it is an awesome feeling. It's nothing to get mad about. The word of God says to love me is to obey my commandments. It's to obey my commandments. So that's where we need to be, and know that the love of God comes with chastisement. The love of God comes with this. So I'm going to leave you all on today. We are going to leave you on today with the love of God. Know who God is in your life. Be comfortable. Have a place of security. Be connected. And when he comes to apply the rod of correction, it's not going to bother you. You'll be in the place of to receive it. We leave you with peace, love, and happiness, and know that we love you.
Before we leave, I want to let people know, like you were saying about that correction, I have mentors that I'm under. And one day, my mentor, one of my mentors, began, and my mentor says that the Lord says, There's a lot of you in here that needs to come to the altar, and you need to get, you need to be delivered from self. So I was there, and I was like, you know, I don't really have a self issue. So they began to break the different categories down. One of the categories that he broke down, he says, you might be stopping other people for being blessed because things that you saw, that it affected people and it affected you. Right then and there, he caught my attention because in some areas that I was blocking members and the people, and it was in the area of financial giving. Because I seen with my own eyes as I was coming up, I seen that leaders and these, I seen this one particular leader that don't took people hard-earned money, revivals, don't rent revivals, people giving their tithes, and they're going to put it towards their script clubs. I'm not talking this stuff I'm making up, this stuff that I seen, and going to put towards their script club, their clubs, and don't took people hard-earned money and put it into seculars investment. I seen individual don't get this hard-earned money, and it had nothing to do with the kingdom. It had something to do with, boy, I can hear the enemy screaming, don't want me to say none of this. He just don't know. You messed up when you showed me. I'm going to say it anyways because I love it when you holler. Amen. And people put it towards their own investment. Don't have nothing to do with the kingdom. Don't have nothing to do with the sacrifice of the kingdom. But they're invested for their own self will. Now people needs and definitely needs and need a help. I've seen all this stuff. So this stuff causes me to it caused me to block people and try to protect them. And it was really myself into where I'm stopping people to apply. I was stopping people to apply the principles of God for their life to be blessed. And I was blocking that. So I had to come to the altar because the word cut me. And I had to get delivered from that part of self. That's what I'm telling you. And it helps me to grow. And it helps me to bless other people and let other people to work in what God has for them. I just want to share that piece with you all.
Amen. But I do want to add to that, and then I'm going to let you all go. It may have been a blocking for him, but at the same token, one thing about my apostle, I have to put this out there. He does not expect you to give what you don't have. And if you are in a place, how can you come and give the church this when you don't have a roof over your head or you don't have food over your head? But the tithes that are being paid into, we don't worry about masks. We don't worry about hand sanitizer. We don't worry. The storehouse remains full, so we can go out into the community. See, when I grew up, the churches was helping people. Well, that's what happens at our church. It's a helpmate. It's not going out to the strip club. It's not going out to different things. It's not. It's coming right back to where it needs to come back into. So I just wanted to throw that out there as well. But I'm going to leave you all again. We love you, but God loves you most. We will see Sunday morning. Get on the line, 10:45 a.m. I know that there's a word for you all. And Monday morning, we'll be back at 7 a.m. if it's God's will. We love you. Have a glorious weekend. Don't let nothing and nobody hold you back and definitely not separate you from the love of God. Peace out. Have a great one. In Jesus' name.